Now, 2 weeks ago, we distributed an outline on the judgment seat of Christ. If you did not receive one then, slip up your hand, keep it up, and someone will get one to you. Brother Freddie doesn't have one. Are there any left? Very good. Keep your hands up if you did not get one. And let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 14. Yes, today is my last Sunday. Keep your hand up. Today is my last Sunday. I'll be leaving in the morning, in the middle of the night. I think about 6:10. And I told Louise when I meet her at Raleigh-Durham Airport, I'm going to give her two affectionate handshakes, one from you and one from me. Romans chapter 14, look at verse 10. Now I realize I have on the outline here all of these verses that pertain to the judgment seat of Christ, but I want us to read these verses. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Let me pause right here to say, in thinking of the judgment seat of Christ, we are thinking of believers being judged. The unsaved will be judged at the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20. This is for believers. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And maybe we should read verse 13 as well. I didn't put it on the list, but let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We have to be careful how we pass judgment, even in our thinking down here, because this is left to the one who knows all things and who judges righteously and correctly. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. For we are laborers together with God, you're God's husbandry, you're God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man, and here again, this is a generic word, every one of us who is a believer, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work, every believer's work, shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Let's go to the next chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4, Paul said, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Keep that in mind. Then shall every man, every believer, have praise of God. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear, here again, this is just for believers, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, here are all of the verses that pertain to the judgment seat of Christ. Now, since it's been 2 weeks, just a very brief review. We believers are listening for the shout when our Lord Jesus Christ will come and call us up to be with himself. We have a living, blessed hope because we have a living Savior. And we are looking for the rapture. I realize some people say, well, you don't find the word rapture in the Bible. You do in the Latin version, where it says, we shall be caught up. It's rapiamor. We shall be raptured. We shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It will be for us a change of condition. Look at your outline. We have pointed out that every believer experiences three changes. One is in the past, one is in the present, one is in the future. Every one of us who is a believer can say, I have a change in my past. Whenever it was for you, it was well over a half a century for me, when a spiritual change took place. We were born again. We were transformed by the power of God. It's a spiritual change, a once-for-all change. There's a present change going on. It's a moral change, because it's God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And God is ever seeking to conform us to the image of his well-beloved Son. So that moral change is going on in the present. And we believers have a change yet to come. We're going to get rid of these deadly bee stings. We're going to get rid of these deadly bee stings. We'll have new bodies. No more baldness. No more bifocals, no more batteries, no more bridges, no more bulges, no more bunions, no more body aches. One old brother with whom I was talking one day, he was looking at his hands. He was a hard worker. He said, no more blisters. Well, a lot of bees. No more memory. That's it. No more bad memory. We'll get rid of these deadly bee stings. We have a bodily change yet to come. All right. We will all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. It will be for us a change of condition. It will be for us a change of position. Why the judgment seat of Christ? Why is it necessary? Well, as we have here, all adjustments made, and it will be determined as the Lord examines our Christian lives. It will be determined what our responsibilities will be, what our positions will be in the millennial reign of Christ. So after the judgment seat of Christ, where all adjustments are made, we'll move on into the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then come back with our blessed Lord to rule and reign on planet Earth. All right, we finished 2 weeks ago with point number one down here in the middle of the page. This examination that we believers will face and experience at the judgment seat of Christ will be a time of reverence. Or we might be inclined to think, well, you know, I'm just waiting until we get there before the Lord, and I'm waiting until brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so gets up and the Lord examines him, the Lord examines her. I just want to stand there and watch this now, and I want to say, see, I told you, I was right. No, it's not going to be any of that. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a gentleman, the perfect gentleman. And I believe this will be a private examination of each believer. Just how the Lord's going to do that, I don't know, but he can do that. There will be 7 years of tribulation on planet Earth, so he could do it in a very short period of time, but the Lord is going to do it. I think he will examine each one of us individually, personally. No embarrassment. And I know some preachers say, oh, there's going to be tears, and they refer to that portion where all tears will be wiped away, and they say that will be at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm inclined not to believe that. Now, you might differ with me. So be it. I don't believe there's going to be all that weeping and wailing for believers at the judgment seat of Christ. Surely there will be some sorrow that we didn't do more for our Lord. And there might be tears in that regard, but not so far as sins being brought out. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But it will be a time of reverence. You will see in 2 Corinthians 5 and 11, Paul speaks about the terror of the Lord, phobos. It indicates a time of deep reverence. We'll stand before our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll stand before the one who knows all things, who knows what our thinking is. And it will be a time of reverence. All right, well, point number two in the middle of the page, it will be a time of revealing. A time of revealing. The Lord will examine our Christian lives from the time we were saved to the time we went to be with the Lord. He's going to examine our Christian lives. Every one of us shall give account. We read in Romans 14 and verse 12. Every man's work shall be made manifest. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. He will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. 1 Corinthians 4 and 5 we read. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. And remember the wording, in his sight, speaks of the X-ray vision of God, the deep penetrating eyesight of God. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are open and naked unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4 and 13. It's going to be a time of revealing. The Lord will examine each one of us as regard to our service for him in our Christian experience. Everything will be brought out. It will be a time of revealing. Now keep in mind, as I put here on the outline, we will not be judged as sinners at the judgment seat of Christ. These three points I put here under it will be a time of revealing, A, B, and C, they correspond to the three changes up at the top of the page. We have been judged as sinners already. We can say with Paul, I'm crucified with Christ. I was executed as a sinner in the person of my substitute. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We have been judged as sinners. And we'll never be judged as sinners again. Do you believe that? You're mighty quiet. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, when we go to the Old Testament scriptures, we read in Isaiah 38 and 17 that our sins are cast behind God's back. Our sins are cast behind God's back. And then Micah chapter 7 and verse 19, is it? Or 14. He speaks about sins being cast into the depths of the sea. Behind God's back, in the depths of the sea. In the book of the Revelation, we read there's coming a day there will be no more sea. Oh, that's wonderful to think about. But our sins cast behind God's back and in the depths of the sea. If that says anything at all, it says that our sins are out of God's sight. Oh, I know sometimes we sing, He'll remember them no more. In the sea of God's forgetfulness. Well, that is not correct. God doesn't forget. We do. God doesn't forget. It's not a negative thing with God. It's a positive thing. He remembers no more. But they are out of God's sight, behind his back. In Psalm 103, verse 12, the psalmist said, our sins are as far as the east is from the west. Well, you tell me how far that is. You know there are two points on the globe where north and south meet. But not with east and west. We can go north to a certain point and you meet the south. Any direction you take thereafter is south. Or you go south to a certain point and you meet the north. But what about east and west? They never meet. And if this says anything to us, it says our sins are out of God's reach. They are out of his sight, and they are out of his reach. Hebrews 8:12, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And yet the same in Hebrews 10:17. Their sins I remember no more. Not that he forgets, he remembers no more. They are out of his mind, out of his sight, out of his reach, out of his mind. We have been judged as sinners. We'll never be judged as sinners again. That's in the past. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And in Colossians 1, verses 20 through 22, you will see that he sees us in Christ wholly in his sight. There, those three little words again, his deep penetrating x-ray vision. He sees us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. We have been judged as sinners, but as to this change that is going on in the present, we are being judged as sons. You'll see this in Hebrews chapter 12. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. Every son speaks of relationship. Every son whom he receiveth. We Christians don't get away with anything. You know, people put up the argument, well, if I believe as you do, that I'm eternally saved, then I can go out and do anything that I want to do. Yes, and you keep doing it, and God's going to take you out of this life and take you home. That seemed to be the case with some at Corinth. No, God will judge us in this life in the sense that he deals with us as children. He disciplines us. Paul said, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, or in an unworthy manner, eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment. Not penal judgment. Not penal judgment. That's the past. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. God had said to some, now that's enough. You brought shame and reproach on me long enough, and I've spoken to you, and I've spoken to you, and you have not responded. That's enough. Come on home. We are being judged as sons. Now, as to the judgment seat of Christ, we will be judged as servants. Now, keep in mind that there are different words that are translated judgment. You know, you can go into a courtroom and the judge will pass sentence on a person, maybe sentencing that person to death or life imprisonment, whatever it might be. That's penal judgment. But then you could go to a fair where different crafts or preserves or something will be judged by judges. Or it might be the Olympics where different contests will be judged by judges. That's not penal judgment. That's a different kind of judgment. This is what we're thinking of. We're going to be judged as servants. So, it will be a time of revealing. Not only so, it will be a time of reviewing. To think that we're going, each one of us going to stand before Christ and our entire Christian life will be examined. Oh my. Oh my. Someone has said the Apostle Paul had 2 days on his calendar. Today and that day. Indicating that he was one who determined to live each day in light of that day. Would to God that each one of us who names the name of Christ would do that. But it will be a time of reviewing. Everything will be examined. And our motives will be examined. What was your motive in doing what you did for the Lord? Whosoever shall give you a cup of cold water in my name, he shall not lose his reward, said the Lord. Peter, do you love me? And that is the test. There's only one spring of action for any believer that will stand the approval of God. Did we do what we did out of love for our Lord Jesus Christ? I cannot work my soul to save, for this my Lord has done, but I will work like any slave in love to God's dear Son. Paul said, whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. And fellow believer, young and older, don't do something for the Lord. You know, sometimes we say, well, you know, I want to do something for the Lord. Well, that might sound commendable, and I guess in some ways it is. But don't do something for the Lord. Do everything for Him. Do everything for Him. This is what the Word says. It will be a time of reviewing, and our motives will be reviewed. Not only so, but our methods will be reviewed. Oh, brother, I was watching television the other day trying to find something decent to watch, and here was some television evangelist who was promoting his miracle spring water. Have you seen the commercial? Miracle spring water. I don't know where it came from. Miracle spring water. And he will send you a little container of this miracle spring water. I don't know what you're supposed to do with it, but it's a miracle water. And he'll send it to you if you will send some money. Some years ago when we lived in Memphis, Tennessee, I'm going back to the late 60s, maybe early 70s now, I had been to the St. Louis area and down in the Ozarks for a men's retreat there first and then to St. Louis to preach on the Lord's Day. So late Sunday night, I'm driving from St. Louis to Memphis, and I'm coming down through the boot heel of Missouri. And I'm turning the radio dial, trying to find something to listen to. I came across this evangelist from Paragould, Arkansas. Now, dear friends, you know I have a sense of humor, but I am not exaggerating. I'm telling you what I heard. Here was this evangelist from Paragould, Arkansas, and he kept emphasizing that. And as he talked and preached, he had this, how would you describe it, a backdraft in his throat? You know what I'm talking about? You know how they do it. I guess that might be a mark of spirituality or something. I don't know. But that's the way he was going. Now he says, friends, I've been telling you about this experience I had with an angel right here in my home in Paragould, Arkansas. And friends, he said, I have some pictures here. Oh, he said, they're beautiful pictures. Lovely color. He said, I'm looking at one picture here. And this is the ball of fire coming down the mountainside right here at my home in Paragould. This ball of fire, whatever that was supposed to be. And he said, then, friends, I'm looking at this picture here, the picture that I took of the angel standing right here at my fireplace in my home in Paragould. There he is standing right there at my fireplace, took a picture. And here's another picture, and I'm standing by the fireplace. Well, I mean, the first thought came to my mind is the angel took this picture. And he went on to say that he was going to send some of these pictures, if you sent in, I don't know, $25, whatever it was. I said to a friend of mine from Atlanta, Georgia, who worked for the postal department, and he worked at that time on a train going from one city to the other, and he would be sorting mail as he was going on the train. So I said to him, I said, Jay, I related the story to him. I said, who would dare send any gift to a person like that? He said, Brother Eddie, you would be surprised. He said, now I'm aware of some of these people. And he said, as I sort mail, he said, I see all kinds of mail going to these characters. And I dare say that in many instances, it's people living on a meager income who'll take their last few dollars and send it to them. Oh, brother, the motives will be reviewed and the methods will be reviewed. Now, having said that, maybe I should make this confession. In Memphis, on one occasion, I ran across a tabloid, a little colorful folder from one of these evangelists. And he and his wife. And they had a picture of a billfold. And they were saying in this folder that he has all of these wallets that have been prayed over and blessed. And if you would send, I don't know what he wanted, $10, $15, $20, he will send you one of these wallets and you will never be broke. Well, now, dear friends, I must confess, I came close. I came close to ordering one of those. I didn't. But I came close. The methods will be reviewed. And not only so, but the measure of the work will be reviewed. The measure of the work. Now, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Concerning that time of judgment or examination for every believer, that the Lord will determine what sort it is. And I know some have said to me in the past, not here, but I mean in other places where I've stressed some of these points, well, Brother Schwartz, now the word says of what sort it is, not what size it is.
of what sort it is.
All right. When we go to Matthew chapter 25, you need not turn to it. Matthew 25, and I don't know that I wrote it down for you. You can jot it down. Matthew 25 and verse 14. The Lord gave the parable of the man who was going away, and he called his servants to him. And he gave to them, he gave to one 5 talents, and he gave to another 2 talents, and he gave to a third 1 talent. And he went away. Later, he returned. Okay? I believe Matthew, or the Lord in giving that parable in Matthew, is emphasizing the sovereignty of God. If God wants to give to one person 5 talents, another person 2 talents, and another 1 talent, he's God. And whatever talents or spiritual gifts we might have, we have nothing about which to boast. We have nothing that we boast in. Our boast is in the Lord. He's sovereign. He is one who has all authority. If he wants to give 5 talents, he can do that. If he wants to give 2, he'll do that. 1, and so on. That's in Matthew 25. In Luke chapter 19, you will read a comparable parable. Different, but comparable. And there, he spoke about the man having 10 servants. And to each servant, he gave 1 pound. I believe in Matthew's gospel, with the 5, 2, and the 1, the emphasis is the sovereignty of God. Anybody playing tricks on me? Everybody awake now? God is sovereign, Matthew's gospel. With Luke's gospel, everyone received 1 pound. And I believe the emphasis there is the responsibility of the servants. The sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. Whatever the Lord has gifted us with, and I'm inclined to think that God gives spiritual gifts in keeping with our natural talent. But that's for another discussion. But the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. In Luke's gospel, each one had 1 pound. But my point is, in each case, when the master returned, he wanted to know how much. What have you gained? What have you accomplished with what I have entrusted you with? So, the measure of the work done will be reviewed. And as I put on the outline here, all that has not been according to the Word of God and actuated by the Holy Spirit of God and accomplished for the glory of God will be burned up. Will be burned up. So it will be a time of reviewing. And then, that 4th point down at the bottom, it will be a time of rewarding. Now, actually, part 2 of this whole study would be the rewards. But that will be for another time and maybe for someone else. But it will be a time of rewarding. Whatever was not according to the Word of God and actuated by the Spirit of God and accomplished for the glory of God will be put to the fiery test. It will be burned up. Wood, hay, and stubble. And then gold, silver, and precious stones, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, will pass the test. But it will be a time of rewarding, and the Lord will give to us rewards according to our faithful service for Him. But now, one other point. Look down at number 5 here. It will be a time of rejoicing. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And while you're turning there, you might be thinking, now, Brother Schwartz, you said that no sins will be brought out at the judgment seat of Christ. That's correct. I'm fully convinced of that. No sins will be brought out. Didn't we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and it will be determined what we have done, whether it be good or bad? That's what we read. But there are two words that are rendered bad. And you can search this out. I don't think I put that down in the notes either. But one word in the Greek is kakos. Kakos. And that word is rendered bad. It is rendered evil. And it has the meaning that it is bad in the sense that it is evil or depraved. It is inherently evil. I don't care how you look at it. I don't care how you approach it. It's bad. It's evil. Kakos. That's one word. And the other is the one we have in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. And that word is phallos. It means that it's worthless. It's not bad in the sense that it is evil. You know, a person could make an investment. Nothing in the way of sin about it. The person is just going to make an investment. But he finds it was a bad investment. That's the thought there. Bad, meaning it was a bad bargain. It was a bad investment. But look at 1 Corinthians 4. And verse 5, and with this we'll close. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Every believer. Now, you might think that that verse is saying, then every believer will have praise to give to God. But that's not what it says. What it says is this. Then shall every believer have something for which God will praise him. Now that's altogether different, isn't it? But that's what it says. And you might think, I remember, and if I get a little emotional, you forgive me. When Diane was in the hospital and she said, Dad, I don't think I'm going to make it. She said, why? Why? I got my life straight with the Lord. I went back to school to become a medical lab technician and then be certified, more schooling. And then a year later, this. Why? I said, Diane, I don't know. I said, you remember the story? You've seen it many times at each Christmas time. I think it is the Christmas story, isn't it, Jimmy Stewart? It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life. I said, you remember how he got so discouraged he was gonna jump off the bridge and kill himself? And the angel came to him and took him around to point out different things to him. Took him to the cemetery and said, remember that boy, 12 years old, that drowned in the lake? And Jimmy Stewart said, oh, no, he didn't drown. I saved him. No, he says, You said you wished you had never been born. You didn't live. You didn't save it. And one thing after another. So she said, yeah, Dad, I've seen that many times. I said, well, Diane, didn't you tell me when you were going to school to be a medical lab technician, didn't you tell me that you had some conversations with other students there, other women who were seeking to be medical lab technicians? Yes, she said. I said, only eternity will reveal what was accomplished by your life talking to that one person. And maybe there are others. At any rate, there will be something. Now, maybe we haven't made a good investment. We are to redeem the time. We are to buy up the opportunities. We are to live for Christ. And we'll stand there and see some of it go up in smoke. Boy, oh boy. But there will be something there for which he will praise us. That's good to know. Every one of us will have some praise from the Lord. Only to give it all back to him for his honor and glory. Thank you for being a good class. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank thee for being in the family of God. But we are made to realize that being one of Christ, being a Christian, carries some privileges, but weighty responsibilities as well. We name that name which is above every name. And you have given us this time frame, this span on planet Earth to live for your honor and glory. May we redeem the time and buy up the opportunities so that we will have much in the way of gold, silver, and precious stones at the judgment seat of Christ for the honor and glory of this one who loved us unto the death, our living Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.